Filmmaking can be dangerous, but when it's done properly, it's not so dangerous. And that's one of the real thrills of this kind of filmmaking is that you can have films that look like they're life-threatening, but when you're careful enough with your planning and with whatever wires you use and whatever other special effects you might have, what I'm getting at there is that the whole idea is to, take something that looks dangerous on screen, but do it safely. So wouldn't that be to the credit of people who are involved with stunt work?
Hello and welcome to At the Movies with Mike and Marie, a show where two film professors talk about movies. I'm Marie Westhaver.
And I'm Mike Giuliano.
And today we're going to talk about the new Planet of the Apes movie and The Fall Guy, starting with Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Okay, Mike, this is, I think, number 10 in the entire franchise, but this one is not a reboot. It's set after the previous Caesar trilogy. So where do you want to start in space and time with the new Planet of the Apes movie?
Well, what's so funny about franchise filmmaking is we have to have this very conversation, as in, there have been now so many films in a series, and you get to that sort of existential question, is this a reboot, a remake, a sequel, what is it? But Marie, you're absolutely right. In this case, I mean, we'd had, the trilogy essentially, and then, this is a, following up on that. So if you've tracked the series, it all sort of makes sense that way. I want to actually go way back to the origins of Planet of the Apes. Just to date myself, I remember seeing it first run in 1968. So, I'm just a toddler, I'll say. And at the time, you have to remember, it was really easy to be taken in by a film and not to know in advance this or that. I didn't even know the word spoiler, right? So I'm just going to the movies. And should I still spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it? But the ending of the original Planet of the Apes was a genuine shocker in terms of what they actually find on the beach. And I remember the audience having a visceral response to it. It's like, oh my God, kind of response. And I still harbor that memory of just how shocking that was and how effective the film was. So from a formative age, it certainly helped form me for better or for worse. The funny thing is, I'm not a big advocate. I'm not a big fan for remakes, reboots, sequels, whatever. There's just so much of that muchness that's just, give me something new, something original, if you will. I gotta say, I've been pleasantly surprised by the Planet of the Apes franchise. Again, I was somewhat cynical when they started remaking, rebooting, call it what you will. But you know what? Number one, the films technically were well made. Certainly, special effects are more advanced now than they were in the late 60s. So the apes, if you will, seem more ape-like and a bit less human in that respect. And so that's, a technical advantage. But thematically, the surprise for me has been the extent to which they still find material that's worth working. It's always that balance, if you will, between, human civilization or what's left of it and ape civilization. And I really find it, quite endearing in a way that this is not only viable, but still really holds my interest. So one of the things, and I'll throw it back to you in a second here, but one of the things that I think holds the interest is the extent to which it's an obvious thematic point. It sort of clubs us on the head, but the fact that the apes are the ones who are verbal and intelligent and advanced, if you will, and humanity is backward. I can say that's sort of like a primal sci-fi notion, but you know what? It really works. And so when you find yourself siding with the apes here, they really are the good guys in so many ways, and maybe they can bring civilization to us. So it's a very humbling notion for me to contemplate. How about you?
I'm going to agree with most of what you said. I remember seeing the original Planet of the Apes, but not when it came out. And I think I was just like not quite a teenager yet, but really being blown away by the whole concept of it. I mean, it's one of the things I think is so fun about all of the Planet of the Apes movies is just exactly what you said. You find yourself rooting against the humans, and it's sort of refreshing. It kind of feels like you're thinking of things in a different way. One of the funniest parts about this movie, well, all of them really, is when they talk about humans, and they usually talk about them in the apes will talk about humans in really disparaging tones. But it's very funny because it's, the shoe's on the other foot. The human beings aren't the most evolved, they're the least evolved, and the apes are more evolved. Going back, though, I did want to refresh my memory of that original movie. So I watched it again. And you know what? It still holds up. It has some really funny moments in it. There's a point, I think it might be the tribunal of orangutans, but they have three monkeys, and one's doing, see no evil, one's doing hear no evil, one's doing speak no evil. And it's just a sight gag, but if when you're watching it, these things were really very clever, the way they put that movie together. And I didn't think this movie, the newest one, had as many funny moments like that, but wow, you really can't believe how well the makeup and stuff is, and the CGI. It's really impressive.
You know where it's, first of all, in terms of shoes, I mean, if more people were wearing shoes in the film, they'd be more civilized, right? But at, to your last point though, there are sequences of what I'll call chases through the forest, okay? And again, that's where it's just really well shot and edited, and so that's where just as a film geek, you can just enjoy it on that technical level of just watching action filmmaking there. But then again, what makes it resonate is what we've been talking about, namely that, the apes are humanists, if you will. They really are the standard bearers of civilization at this point. And anyway, without spoiling anything in this film, it's set up in such a way that not only does it really set us up for whatever the next film will be, but in an agreeable way. You don't feel that risible sense, oh no, we're left hanging, this will be resolved, a year or two from now. No, it just seems like a natural progression as the series moves along. So it's actually one of the smartest franchises, I think, in that respect.
Yeah, I agree. And I appreciate the effort going into making the movie as realistic as possible. The actor who plays Noah, Owen Teague, spent time in a Florida ape sanctuary where he got up close and personal with the primates, except for the orangutans, who he said smelled terrible, saying our evolutionary predecessors were stinky guys. You don't get a sense of how things smell when you're watching the movie. Everything seems very, very civilized, and thank God there's not smell-o-vision, right?
Or what John Waters called odorama in polyester.
Odorama.
I'm not sure I want to smell this movie, so I'll leave that for the director's cut, that if we somehow have odors that go with it. It's sufficiently visceral without the odors.
There's lots of other clever things, like all the humans are, they call them all Nova, and that kind of harks back to, previous episodes of this franchise that we've seen. There's characters named Nova, but in a way it makes sense. The movie itself is kind of a, would you say it's a hero's journey? Because it sort of felt that way to me, Mike.
Well, that's actually a mythic underpinning for a lot of these films, really. I mean, we don't have to even invoke Joseph Campbell. Just mention that the fact that, this is the kind of storytelling that, to varying degrees, is conscious of what it's doing. In other words, that it does have that mythic structure to it. Also, in the Planet of the Apes series, sometimes you can have some rather thuddingly obvious dialogue where you feel like that they're not only aware of it, but want us to be fully aware of it. And I think it's better off when it doesn't indulge too much in those philosophical sessions, because I think that's implicit in the material. And I don't want too many scenes of people sitting around a campfire talking it out. I think, okay, I get it. Now let's move along and let's have a big fight in the woods.
I did appreciate that. I felt like the human character that they include as the main character was not really a hero. I kept waiting for any moment for her to do something kind of to pull our sympathies back towards the human side of the equation rather than on the apes, where there's never a moment in the film when you're not on the main character side. But what did you think? Were you waiting for them to do something different with the human character?
Well, that was an interesting point. I'm so glad you brought it up because I'm all for girl power, but sometimes movies nowadays immediately hit that button, right? And I kept waiting for this movie to do that, and she would become the big action hero, and she could even have Tarzan or Jane moments swinging through the woods. I mean, yeah, I'm getting silly with it, but I almost thought the film would go that. And I kind of appreciated the fact that her motives and her behavior and so on are not always saintly, not always, she has reason for what she does, but she's not presented as this all-out heroic figure and that we're going to identify totally with her. And I think, again, the film ultimately is on the side of the apes, right? And so even if she's a somewhat sympathetic human, she's still a human. And if you will, that's a lower order. I never thought I'd be saying that about my own species, but that's a lower order at this
There
point.
you go. So in terms of subsequent films, because I agree they did set it up, they could make another one. Do you think that they'll continue on in this time, or do you think they'll jump to different eras?
Now, that's a really interesting question. And I've been thinking about this because since the Planet of the Apes film came out that we're talking about, since then we've had the latest Mad Max film, Furiosa. And again, this is another sequence or series, if you will, where Sometimes they'll have a film that immediately follows up on the predecessor. Sometimes you get a prequel. Frankly, I don't mind that because I don't want it to become so predictable that you leave off one film and then you pick up, the next morning. Sometimes it's nice to shake it up a little bit. And in a rather cynical way, sometimes these franchises have just totally hit the reboot button, right? Like the earlier ones hadn't existed and suddenly you're at square one again. But to the credit of the Planet of the Apes films, I mean, they have an acknowledgement of what I'll call the history of humanity and ape history as well. And so I think one of the nice aspects of that is it keeps us wondering in the way you and I are at this very moment, like what will they do next with it? So yeah, I appreciate that.
Now, I think this is a lock for a makeup and costuming award for next Oscars. What do you think?
Well, this is the kind of film that definitely will get those technical nominations as it should. The big question is sometimes a film like this doesn't necessarily get awards or award nominations, at least beyond that. And I'm not sure I would shower this film with awards. It's well made, but I think mostly in the technical categories. I don't, in terms of acting, best ape outfit. I don't know what categories do you know what I mean? Like what categories do you even have after a while? And in terms of things like direction and all, it's really well made. But at the end of the year, I think it's unlikely we'll be talking about it in that respect. It's a well-made franchise film. Enough said.
I think this is an opportunity for the director, by the way, to make a little bit of a splash because the next movie he's coming out with is Legend of Zelda. And given, how well he did constructing this film, I think that bodes well for Zelda.
Well, again, this is where if you were a producer and you're looking to hire somebody, yeah, sign this person up because no, I mean this is like a big budget film that where it's running on all cylinders, everything's smoothly put together. Why not? I mean, this is top-notch filmmaking. Sure, hire the person.
I saw it in Screen X, Mike. Did you see it in a any sort of special format, or did you notice anybody in the audience reacting?
No, I was among the peasants just watching it in the regular format there. I didn't feel underprivileged or anything. I mean, I did see it actually at the Senators. So it was on a really big screen. And for me, that's my equivalent of Screen X. It's just, if you see a movie there, it's enormous already. And the apes are coming right at you. And I don't know if I want to be scared beyond that. I was scared enough. No, but it's true though. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying in terms of the various formats and so on, but there aren't that many films that I think you absolutely need to see it that way. I think if you have a large enough screen, usually you're fine with that. You know what I mean? I don't think there aren't too many films where you really want that full, Avatar type wraparound effect.
I like being in the world.
I know
I
you do. I know. I know. Just please come back from it occasionally.
Well, let's move on to the Fall Guy. Now, I don't know, were you a fan of the TV series in the 80s?
No, not at all. So I was aware of it, but don't come with that prior knowledge. So why don't you take over at this point, since you obviously were had more familiarity with it?
I was, in fact, when you get to the end of the movie, Blake Shelton reprises the song from the TV series. I'm like, those aren't the right lyrics. I mean, I remembered the lyrics from the TV show from 1980,
Wow.
which is interesting. Now, that starred Lee Majors, who was a big deal at the time, and he has a small cameo in this movie, which is sort of fun to see him come back. He also sang that original song for the TV show. So the premise is, he's a stuntman, and what makes that fun to watch, obviously, is you're going to see some amazing stunts. So it starts off with this 150-foot drop for Ryan Gosling. And he has a fear of heights, apparently, but he still did that stunt himself. However, even though he did do some of his stunts, he had at least four stunt doubles. So that tells you a lot about how exhausting and depleting it is to do that kind of work. You have to have that many people to, perform all of the stunts. I really liked the way this was a movie within a movie because they're making a movie within the movie. And you get to see kind of that inside baseball thing where you see how stunts are set up, how it looks when you're doing it versus how the camera's trying to get the shot. I loved that part. I absolutely loved all that part where you see all of that background stuff. What about you, Mike? What did you think of this movie?
I found it a big disappointment, and I'll tell you why. I like the premise, and for the reasons you're indicating. And what I found clever and really amusing was the fact that the movie star, the movie within the movie, if you will, is an actor whose first name is Tom. And of course, then there would be a lot of jokes about, because of course Tom Cruise boasts that he does all of his own stunt work. And I'm not judge and jury on this, but you know, that's a point of pride with him, that when you see him on a motorcycle going off a cliff, yeah, yes, he is. I don't know whether Nicole Kidman pushed him off or he went off on his own volition, but anyway, he's over the cliff. And so anyway, that's part of his mythology, if you will, as an actor. And part of the cleverness of the premise here is that you have another kind of swaggering action movie star whose first name is Tom and who boasts about doing all of his own stunt work. And of course, we get the inside look as to, well, doesn't he have stunt guys? And maybe they get drunk and tell tales out of class, if you will. And so I like that part of it. However, very quickly that dissipated. And the main reason is this. The film, I think, really would benefit if it were more of an inside look. Yes, it does give us some sequences where you see how a stunt's actually executed. That's all fascinating to watch, how they actually put it together. I think the film needs more of that. That should be the focal point. Instead, it goes off into this borderline ridiculous murder mystery type storyline, which, you know, okay, maybe that could work in a film, but not this film. You know, this is a film that should be the very inside baseball references you're making. That's what the film should really hew to and not go off. Because frankly, I got to the point where I didn't care what happened, who done it, what have you. It's just like, no, that's not the movie I came to see, if you will. And so for me, ultimately, it fell very flat that way. And so it held my interest just because it does have plenty going on. But beyond that, I thought this is not really following through on the premise in the way I would want it to. I really want to have that Tom Cruise type star and his psyche, if you will, and then also how either he or the stunt doubles are doing all these things. Let's have that almost like frame by frame. Okay, this is what you're seeing as a moviegoer. Here's how we actually did it. Boy, that would be fascinating. Instead, what we get is sort of a mediocre, you know, murder mystery action adventure picture.
I agree so much with what you were saying, because I had the same reaction that the plot about the murder mystery thing felt like a TV plot. You know, the kind of silly thing that, you know, you come back every week just for the setup of, you know, it's about a stuntman. And then you create all of these situations around that. Where you're right, I really wanted this movie to focus on the movie making aspect of it and not so much the silly backstory and romance. I did think Ryan Gosling was pretty good with the timing of his jokes, but somehow I found the scenes where he's with Emily Blunt, it's like they want to be old-time Hollywood stars that have that sort of rapier-like wit and exchange quips, but it felt forced to me.
Yeah, it's very forced. It's mechanical that way. My line, your line kind of thing with
yes,
the actors.
Yes, yes.
It really was that way. And I can't fully explain why that is, because certainly, you know, two talented actors, nothing against them whatsoever. It's almost as if they get pulled into the mechanics of the plot line that you and I are denigrating at the moment, you know, getting into that murder mystery stuff. Just as that's forced, whatever else goes along with it, you know, the other baggage, if you will, is like the whole package starts to seem like it's forced material. It doesn't seem organic or natural, plausible, you know, use similar terms for it. And that's where, again, you feel like you're not quite believing what you're watching at an emotional level, and you don't care, really. I finally took solace just when there would be an action sequence, just to have something to amuse my eyes, you know, just to keep me watching.
They do deliver with the action. I mean, I think there's one car that rolls 8.5 times. I mean, the stunts are really very, very accomplished. But let me tell you some of the people they had considered in the Ryan Gosling role, see if you think any of these would have made the movie different, because this has been in development since 2010. All right, so Tom Cruise, which would have been a really funny inside joke, right? Keanu Reeves, Nicolas Cage, Jason Statham, and Dwayne Johnson.
Well, you know what? All of them could have worked successfully in a picture like this. However, they'd still all be hobbled by the deference given to the murder mystery plot line. You know what I mean? Like, even if they're really convincing, certainly Tom Cruise would be good as Tom Cruise, right? He's always playing Tom Cruise. He could, when people called him Tom in this movie, he'd just say, yep, what do you want? And so the thing is, like, they all like would be good casting, but then I think the film would still be undone in the same ways. And some of them are good action stars, but if it got into the more emotional, yucky stuff, some of them don't have the emotional chops necessarily to really do that. Ryan Gosling, I would say, is a more versatile actor than some of the other ones you mentioned. So in theory, at least, he should be better in a role like this if it really is going to take us into some heart-to-heart conversations. The other guys, just put him on motorcycles, you know, let him go.
I would say I wanted to mention that the director, David Leitch, also did Bullet Train and John Wick and Deadpool 2. And, you know, this movie reminded me a lot of Bullet Train. and the way it was shot. And apparently he, back in the day, was a stuntman himself.
He was, yes, absolutely. That's, to his credit, actually, is he knows this material. And all the more unfortunate, he doesn't make a movie that focuses more on the material itself. That's what he did professionally. And so he actually shoots it well, as you and I have been saying. But why not then just, really work that material instead of this kind of, I like when you said TV movie, it's like standard issue plot line, because that's what it devolves into.
Yeah, it really does. Which I found really, like you, I was very disappointed in that because I was expecting more. And I did also think that the editing in this movie was all over the place.
It's very choppy. It's very choppy, and kind of inexplicable that these guys know how to make action movies, but here it has a kind of like stop and go. I won't even call it a rhythm because it's really broken up in such a way that it just doesn't seem very smoothly assembled, does it?
It really doesn't. And you made a comment about the last movie we were watching about, because I like girl power, love having strong female characters, but I didn't buy Emily Blunt as a director.
It's a total, when I say fabrication, again, this is not a knock against female directors whatsoever. It's just the fact that in this particular film, it's one of the forced elements, right? And when she comes on the set, she just doesn't seem to have the directorial chops, if I can call it. You know what I mean? So it's almost like she just sort of like got out of the trailer and wandered over to the set. All right, guys, let's make the movie. And I'm being cynical about it, but it just didn't seem like, in terms of verisimilitude, it just didn't seem like somehow she had the, call it the resume or the directing chops or the interest. She just seemed to like wander onto the set. And I did you have that feeling? Just at the
Yeah,
very
like
basic
she had
level of
no
creep?
authority.
No, she had no authority, but it wouldn't be. I mean, sometimes directors are, hired guns that way, and it's the producers or whoever calling the shots. But she just seemed like almost like she was a supernumerary. She almost seemed like this. She almost seemed like an extra in some of the scenes.
She really
What?
did.
I thought, Maria, I was laughing. I thought, well, she's the director. Listen to her, and then she would have to assert herself if they're going to listen to her, right? And she just seemed like she was sort of lost in the action. I don't. What'd you make of that? It was weird.
It was weird. And I like her as an actor. So I, and nothing against her as in other, I liked her in other things, but you know what would have been clever? And so I think they missed a trick here. They should have cast somebody like Greta Gerwig, who's also an actress
Oh,
and
yeah.
recently done so well directing Barbie. That would have been a really funny inside baseball kind of joke.
Oh my gosh, yes. That would be so funny. Yeah. We would have, Ken jokes as well as Tom jokes.
All right, so one of the things that came out of the movie that I thought was worth discussing is apparently in the upcoming Oscars, they're going to have a new category for casting directors, but
Yes.
there has never been a category for stunts. So what do you think about that, Mike?
Well, the casting category is long overdue because so much of the success of a film obviously is in that, who actually puts the package together. So, if you look at the craft category, certainly casting deserves to have its own category. In terms of stunt work, I'd say sure. I mean, I don't. It seems to me it's a viable thing. The only reservation I have is that the Oscar telecast now runs a few hours, and that'll add another hour to it. So I don't know if I want to have too many more categories. But they could get those ones out in advance, right? But I agree with you in theory that both of those are categories that would certainly merit, inclusion. So sure, I mean, because that's something underappreciated, and yet it's a skill set just as much as, sound and lighting and editing and those other things.
I do wonder, though, if maybe one of the reasons not to have it is because they don't want people to take such risks, take stupid risks in the hopes of getting an Oscar.
Well, or in hopes of making a living, so I mean, people, I mean, it's part of, filmmaking can be dangerous, but when it's done properly, it's not so dangerous. And that's one of the real thrills of this kind of filmmaking is that you can have films that look like they're life-threatening. But, when you're careful enough with your planning and with whatever wires you use and whatever other special effects you might have, what I'm getting at there is that the whole idea is to, take something that looks dangerous on screen, but do it safely. So wouldn't that be to the credit of people who are involved with stunt work, right? That they can get away with these things. So I don't know if people would take greater risks here, because I think we're at the point now where when something gets really risky, what do? Well, we go to CGI, right? You don't have to actually go off that cliff. We can do that on the computer screen. So it might be a moot point in that respect.
That's true, because then we'll have to have a category for the person who faked the stunts on the computer. Computer fakery, Oscar. Okay, so I just want to glance off of the fact that the film within a film is called Metal Storm, And apparently it's inspired by the real film Metal Storm, The Destruction of Jared Sin from 1983, which was described as Star Wars meets Mad Max. You know, I like trashy science fiction films as much as the next person, but I felt like this movie, The Fall Guy, was kind of looking down on it even as they were pretending to film it. And they didn't respect even their own gag that they're setting up.
Yeah, I know
I
what you're
just
getting at. You know, it's one of the things that's bothersome about the film is because with all the money and time and effort they're putting into making this movie, you know, the movie within the movie, at some level, they have to either think that it's, you know, either A, good, or at least B, you know, professional work, you know. Instead, they seem to be like taking it too lightly or just not caring that much about it. And I don't know, that seems sort of, you know, frankly, disrespectful, doesn't it?
That's the word I was looking for. Yes. Disrespectful.
And I can't fully explain why. Maybe it's just because the film itself has such a jokey tone that the joke maybe just went too far, if you know what I mean, that they just like everything's sort of being sent up at that point.
Yeah, I think it meant to be funny, but I don't think it came off right. I felt like you did that it was disrespectful to the concept that they were trying to put across.
What?
Even if you were making a bad sci-fi film, I mean, wouldn't you have, the passion for making it, even if it's just going to be campy?
Well, let's say you're the stunt person. You want to be convincing when you do that stunt. You want people to respect the work you did there. Not to be laughing or laughing it off as you're doing it, even, much less before audiences see it, you know? And that's where it becomes disrespectful, I think, to the people who really do put a lot of talent into making, you know, frankly, bad movies. But, you know, even bad movies have a lot of talent going into them, you know? And I feel strongly that way that, you know, not many people would set out to make a movie that's bad and they know it's bad and they're just going through the motions and so on. Almost always, don't you have some level of craftsmanship, of professionalism, of thinking maybe you're making actually a good film? You might be deluded, but at least you think you're making a good film.
Well, I think there's an opportunity here. If they edit out everything except all the stunt stuff, they could have a little featurette that would be much more watchable.
Well, don't dare say that because I've had enough sequels at this point. I don't want more Fall Guys.
Okay, well, that does bring us to the end of this episode. Don't forget to check out our other episodes at atmhcc.podbean.com, and you can also find us on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have ideas, suggestions, or comments, you can email us at movies@howardcc.edu or on Dragon Podcast's social media, where you can interact with us, give us a like, drop a comment, and share our content with others. And we will see you next time at the movies.
See you then.